Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I've been on Mark Collette's 200th episode of PWR. It was fun. Mark Collette is always a fast-paced thinker, quick questioner, quick interviewer. So I spent 10 minutes because he had a total of 30 guests, I believe, showing up at the same on the same episode. It was quite the marathon. It was fun. It's always good to talk with Mark Collette. Not much happening in the news, so we can do a general review of the news. I've been releasing ringtones for your phones. If you know, you like these special ringtones that when someone calls you on your phone, I've taken this from clips that Fadam has generated from the show of yesterday. First ringtone is ringtone1.mp3. Let's see what it says. Just want to make sure that I'm not making you what you're doing, even if you don't know it, even if you successfully deceive your brain for a moment that you're not gay, you're still gay. It's an objective thing. You're gay like Schrödinger gay. Gay in the fucking box before anyone has opened it. What you're doing, even if you don't know it.
All right, so that's the first ringtone. The second ringtone is this one.
If there's a dick somewhere in the forest and you fuck the forest, but you don't see the dick, is there really a dick? The answer is yes! If there's...
All right, so if you'd like to install this on your phone, I don't know exactly how you would do this, but I've released the MP3 on jfg.world. It's nice to see Fadam when he clips these... very specific moments of the show. I really love the clips of Lorenza also on Twitter. Excellent job. I used to be shy at letting people clip because I could get in trouble if the clip is taken out of context with the YouTube censorship. But now we can do it fully, and I'm so happy to see Lorenza sharing those clips. Those clips are important to reach a crowd that wouldn't listen to the show regularly, but sometimes they would be attracted to a couple of episodes if they hear a clip that they like. John Drake says, these are perfect when out in public. Exactly, that's something you want to hear on the bus. James says, I'm pretty sure those ringtones will make you more gay. I cannot guarantee that they don't have this effect. Yesterday, I talked about Elon Musk, and he was very based in his handling of an employee, but now he has apologized. Too bad. He says, I would like to apologize to Halley for my misunderstanding of his situation. It was based on things I was told that were untrue, or in some cases, true, but not meaningful. He is considering remaining at Twitter. It's always sad with these people who are at the border between being based and not based. They always kneel. They always end up having to apologize. But it seems that there may be a financial reason why he has to apologize. Jamie East, I don't know if it's factual what he reports here or if it's a hypothesis. But in any case, he says, turns out the guy in question sold his company to Twitter for around $100 million, and there was a clause in his contract that if he was fired, the amount had to be paid in full immediately. Lolorama. So that may be why Elon may be stuck with a contract that he unknowingly purchased when he purchased the Twitter company. Quite amazing that he had to apologize. I mean, if he had to apologize that intensely, it must be because there was a financial reason. Personally, I would have thought that the financial reason was that his lawyers informed him that, hey, you cannot talk about a disability when you fire someone. If you just say the word disability, and on top of it, Elon was basically questioning the legitimacy of his disability, because he was like, hey, he can't type, but he can still tweet, which, you know, perhaps he can tweet because he has a voice to text device. That may not mean he can type, but in any case, it's clear that you're going to get a lawsuit for discriminatory discriminatory firing if you say things like this during the firing process. So it makes a lot of sense if that's true, that Elon was basically bound by contract and this guy is basically kept in the company just to not have to honor this clause of the contract and keep the money in. Dick McDropkick says, I just heard that clip of Eric Weinstein saying, I'm smart enough, I'm not scared of anyone intellectually other than Edward Witten. Also JF, though. Let's see. I'd love to talk with Eric. Let's see if at some point he wants to talk. Micronova sends a super chat. Thank you so much. By the way, I'm thinking of rolling out Entropy. We've had less and less people share super chats through Entropy, and I was keeping it really there just so that people would get used to the new Odyssey system. But Entropy has never made the work to be fully integrated to Odyssey, so I have to open this bizarre DLive page to keep it open. I'm thinking about rolling out Entropy. I'm thinking of tomorrow removing the Entropy statement in the description and going full Odyssey. I don't know what you guys think. In any case, Micronova has sent a super chat through Odyssey. He says, haha, Elon, you have activated my trap card. Yeah, it looks like this guy knew all of this. And so that's why he was like on Twitter, hey, I don't know if I'm fired. I would like to know if I'm fired. Because he knew there was a $100 million check that was coming in, or part of it, because he may have already been paid the other parts of it. But anyway, there was a big check coming his way if he was fired. So yes, that is totally a trap card. Our friends of Arctos have been deplatformed. Oh, that is too bad. I hate deplatforming in the book industry because books are something special. You know, the blogging, the YouTubing, you think, okay, well, there's going to be alternatives to this. But the book industry is a complex industry, hard to penetrate. And since the internet has taken over and self-publishing and printing, it's been better. And it's extremely worrying when the book industry starts banning, because it's like the last resort of the free intellectual. Arctos deplatformed in war on dissident thought. In one of the greatest attacks on free speech to date, Arctos, the world's foremost publisher of new right and traditionalist literature in the English language, was suddenly deplatformed by the world's largest book distribution monopoly, resulting in over 430 publications becoming unavailable to the public. That is really too bad. I hope that there's a solution out of this, but Ingram, the problem, I don't even make much money from Ingram, but Ingram gives you access to the bookstores, and it leads to the normies, at least if they request, it leads to the normies being able to order your book in a bookstore. It's not my main path for money. My main income comes from Amazon. Amazon has been so great. But Ingram is important to be within the network that will end up in libraries, that will end up being ordered by normie institutions and normie stores. I don't know if they had a large share of their income coming from this. Hopefully they can survive on their own promotion and their own printing infrastructure. But it's very complex to have the whole printing infrastructure for books. Rodi Lacid says, did Ingram also ban Scott Adams? Honestly, it's the first time I hear of Ingram banning anyone. There may have been other cases, but I've never followed this, and it's always been to me one of the places where I would expect the least to be banned, you know. Micronova says, Amazon so great until they censor your book like Day of the Rope by Devon Stack / Blackpilled. Yeah, that really sucked. I mean, I'm not saying that Amazon is perfect, but they have taken an industry that was full-on corruption, full-on, like, authors were getting scammed out of their money. And Amazon has made something better with this. They have given a share to the authors that is much greater than what the normal editors would give you. And they have opened the process to anyone to self-publish. Adidas to cut dividends 80% after losing $1.3 billion severing ties with Kanye West. See, this is why I take it with a grain of salt when we see all these news coming out, these news that are saying Elon Musk is in trouble with Twitter. He's had a drop of 20, 40, 70% of his ads. I'm like, the industry isn't doing good as a whole. And $1.3 billion lost from losing the Yeezy deal with Kanye, basically burning it to the ground, going scorched earth, and Yeezy doesn't exist anymore. Now they lose 80% of their dividends. So the profit sped to the stockholders, 80% drop. Adidas is basically not generating surplus anymore. Micronova says, Aquanote says, deplatforming books honestly helps to legitimize that they're saying something authentically anti-establishment. Yes, I would agree. I agree that there's a phenomenon of Streisand effect, giving some credentials to books when they are banned. John Drake says, Toronto libraries definitely didn't carry Arctos even before this. I'm going to drop off a copy of TRP to the library and ask them to buy more copy. I'll let you know if they buy it. Yeah, I mean, they will take donations sometimes, so it depends on the library. Some libraries, they don't like donations. They're like, oh, we're too full. And it's like, you look around the library and it's crickets and there's empty shelves everywhere. It's, oh, we're too full. Sorry, our inventory is too large. But some libraries, especially local libraries, you know, who operate on a very thin budget, they're going to be happy to take any free book you send them. Presented without comment, that is a message to women. You know, don't go the divorce way, the separation way, and you find yourself childless at 34 years old.
I'm sitting here with just this horrible realization. I've been divorced for 3 years, and in that 3 years, I have spent most of my days figuring out how I can become physically, mentally, financially, spiritually healthy enough to be able to afford.
You need a husband. That's what you need.
And take care of a child. And not only have I taken that time, but I've done the math. And it...
Don't try doing the math. Follow your emotion. Join the man. Take a husband.
It does not work out.
Exactly. Well, that's one rare case of math being properly performed here.
I am not young enough or fertile enough or financially stable enough.
You are a working pig of the capitalist market. This is what you dreamed of. You got it.
To even do another round of IVF and at 36, like, I'm sorry, like, you're gonna say, like, you have time. Like, I don't. Because I can't spend another minute of my life trying to make something work.
James says she looks good for 36. She does, but that's a lot of makeup. That is a lot of makeup, believe me.
I'm just fighting upstream. I don't have a support system. I don't.
No one needs a support system. Your support system is the husband.
I don't have the money. I don't have the resources or the community.
Fuck the resources and the community. All you need is a husband. Why did you drop your husband? Why didn't you not use your fertile years to make babies?
And it just kills me. It kills me that I had embryos with my ex-husband that were viable. And they're just gone now.
Well, what did you think? That this whole experiment of freezing living beings or whatever she's done, I don't know exactly what she's done, but what did you think? Nature gave you the opportunity to have babies extremely easily. All you had to do is have sex with your husband when you were between 20s and 30.
And my future? My future with those children?
Well, of course, there's no future with these children. They don't exist anymore. So sad, but so important. This should be played in elementary school to all young girls. Micronova says, I got a woman pregnant at 39. That was 39, first try. Give me this woman's number. I have king semen. Come here, woman. Put on your veil and stay at home. Call me master, and I will protect and teach. Maybe she's desperate enough that at this point she got the message and perhaps she would benefit from your super sperm. Aquanote says she didn't use her fertile years because our degenerate society replaced sustainable birth rate patriarchy with a form of feminism that isn't sustainable in terms of the population. Now they'll be rewarded by migrants who do not observe women's rights. Great job, leftist. Exactly. I'm just here with the popcorn waiting. I'm just going to look it all fall in front of me. I mean, at this point, if you can't laugh at it and enjoy it, then there's no point. Matt Hancock was censored by the Cabinet Office over his concerns that COVID began with a lab leak in Wuhan because the government feared it would cause problem with China. So apparently some UK news here, a member of the government who believed that the lab leak was true, but he was told, no, this is going to put us in trouble with China. Go Away says, my mom was 45 when she had me, no IVF, and I turned out fine, by the way. This woman is worrying about nothing. Typical hysterical woman moment. Well, the thing is, if she was already engaged in IVF, that may mean that she already has detected early problems of fertility. And so if she was already doing this and she's 36, it's going to look worse and worse as she progresses in time. Christina Buttons has left the Daily Wire. I didn't know her at all. She says, I'm leaving the Daily Wire. I worked hard getting the facts right and using precise language because of the heated nature of the gender debate with so much at stake while their pundits dump gasoline all over it for entertainment and clicks. I believe she is referring to the Matt Walsh, going after a trans person and saying, you're not a man or whatever, you're not a woman. I don't exactly remember what he said, but basically denying the sex change, denying the new sexual identity that this person had. And so we have a woman leaving the corporate world of the Daily Wire because she's too offended by what our colleagues are coming up with. And that made me think about Lauren Rose. I said, it's not the first time we see a woman leaving a corporate group because they don't like the editorial angle adopted by males in the group. Makes me think of Lauren Rose and I think this boils down to a fundamentally different way in which males and females process competition and social organization. The self-selection out of the gene pool... The self-selection out of the pool might be at the origin of natural segregation of sexes in certain sectors. I personally find the attitude reproachable. You join a corporate group as just one piece in a machine meant to produce IDs and attract clicks. You haven't bought the company, so how other workers attract their clicks is none of your business. Furthermore, the whole thing is based in fallacious guilt by association arguments, and by kneeling to these fallacious considerations, one gives them importance. I can't help but think that this behavioral difference is ultimately rooted in unchecked female privilege. Men in the media know that they have nothing that will attract attention other than the wisdom of their words or the originality or provocativeness of their ideas. Women keep acting like they have something else. And I didn't write it, but I was thinking they do have something else. Boobs. With all that said, I'm all about creators staying away from the corporate groups and taking their own directions, so good for her. It's a bizarre way that females approach belonging to a group. I think it's different than males. I think females feel bound by some association with the whole group. That's why they want to police so much of what others say. If I was accepting a job at the Daily Wire, I would accept that I'm in my lane, the other workers are doing other things, and their goal is to get clicks in a different way than me. Because if we all think the same way and talk the same way, then why be part of a corporate group at all? We are then competitors. So I take issue with this... This inability of women to tolerate diversity. Rodila Sid says, but at 36, how long does it take before she can have a baby if she met the man today? Usually 1 year before moving together. If you're fast, then another year to get married, then another year to have a baby. At least 3 to 4 years before having a baby for her starting at 36. Exactly. It's not like decide to have a baby, have the baby instantly. There's at the very least, there's 9 months. And even then, there's much more than this. Silver Spider says, oh my God, imagine JF at the Daily Wire. yes, that would be weird. Aquanote says, the funny thing is that the so-called gender debate this woman laments about is ultimately something that populates biological males in formerly exclusive female spaces, which ultimately comes at her expense. What was formerly a exclusive female space? I'm not sure what you're referring to. What was it? I'm not sure what you're talking about. This is a bellwether moment. Speaker McCarthy is empowering an extremist faction antithetical to American democracy. This guy is worried because Marjorie Taylor Greene got the speakership role for 1 day.
The Speaker's Rooms, Washington, D.C., March 8th, 2023. I hereby appoint the Honorable Marjorie Taylor Greene to act as Speaker pro tempore on this day. Signed, Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Pursuant to the order of the House of January 9th, 2023, the chair will now recognize members from the list submitted by the majority and minority.
Snorefest. This is antithetical to our democracy. Our democracy is that there's a speaker. The speaker can name a replacement if he's out for a day. So he's named Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's it. Morgan is a wizard, says, now I don't know a lot about kids, but my common sense tells me if they can't sit still in a chair for 7 hours, we should try letting them play outside more before putting them on meth. Just a thought. Interesting thinking there. Meth, she's probably referring to ADHD medication, which is always amphetamine or amphetamine-like substances. Yes, I believe that when we diagnose these children with ADHD, we are basically diagnosing a legitimate part of the variability of the human population, because the human population cannot possibly have evolved to handle at 8 years old being sit in front of a teacher for hours. When you confront the population with a new stimulus like this, there's going to be a bunch of people just randomly capable of tolerating it, but there's going to be a bunch of people incapable of tolerating it, and then there's going to be everything in between. When we diagnose people with ADHD, that is just, we cut this part of the natural variability in nature that won't sit down and listen and follow for 8 hours a day, stuff that is ultimately not very interesting. So, yes, don't diagnose them, don't give them those medications, just change the system so that we don't have this clash between what we deliver to children and what their body and genes expect. Aquanote says, JF, formerly exclusive female spaces, what I meant is restrooms, women's athletic events, some occupations, women's prisons. Ah, okay. Well, that is the specific trans debate and trans access to public accommodations. Okay, I get it now. But the gender debate, we shouldn't even use that word on the right. There's no gender debate. There's an attack on gender. That is what it is. An attack is not a debate. An attack, there's a semantic attack by the left on things related to gender, which is just really an indirect way to get at nature and to get at family. That's what it is. If you call it a debate, you've already lost. You're already in the, well, I think that a woman is someone who calls themselves a woman. And, oh, well, I think that a woman has a vagina. Yeah, you're already, if you're in the debate, you are legitimizing this position. Don't call it a debate. That doesn't mean not to debate them when they say it to your face, or not even to join a debate in which you stand for your position. But don't call it a debate when you're out there talking to your own audience. It's not a debate. It's an attack. hashtag adult human female is trending in Canada. Sometimes there is these weird hashtags trending in Canada, you know. You will not cancel us. International Women's Day. Woman, adult, human, female. You will not cancel us. Okay. People who identify as woman, adult, human, female. Okay, bro. Okay. A lot of normies will take... This will be their first red pill moment. The whole trans stuff. Interesting. Nazanin Boniadi says, I stand by the women and girls of Afghanistan and Iran and demand that we interpret and expand the legal definition of apartheid to include gender under international laws. No, that would be absolutely ridiculous. See, this is why the left can't help itself but to ultimately join the American Empire in its quest to conquer and control everything on this planet. It's because they are looking at redefining humanitarian term in a way that basically means leftist progressivism everywhere. So here, gender apartheid, what is that? Well, it's a semantic attack again to take a bunch of words which are supposed to mean there's a population that's really in the need, they're really getting genocided, they really are deprived of any human rights, and we should go save them. And then transpose this to gender apartheid. Now suddenly you're not going to save a bunch of people who are abused and shot at by the army. Suddenly you're going to attack a country like Afghanistan for refusing to put females in universities. And now you have the war machine of the left developing, a war machine based on humanitarian considerations that are inherently progressive in nature, where they see the entire world needs to be educated by the Western female because she knows better. There's not even a proof that she can handle our own civilization more than 100 years without fully crashing it to the ground. But somehow she will be the right person to listen to when it comes to how Afghans should handle their woman. Never let this be pulled onto you. It's a way of taking the American war machine and redirecting it to wherever they want it, and with the goal of flying LGBT flags in the Middle East, which, by the way, we totally failed. They even tried this, and they failed. They couldn't hold Afghanistan. They put posters and LGBT flags and that kind of stuff. It was all gone within a few days after America flew out by helicopter and by planes just escaping at the last minute. Thomas Howard says, just found out JF has a mechanism for deplatforming my speech based on keyword rejection. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, when I set up my Odyssey account, there was an option, ban certain keywords. You've used a pretty extreme keyword if you've triggered that mechanism, let me tell you, because I've put like 15, the 15 first most offensive keywords that could come to mind, I've put them in there. But yeah, if you're going to be censored by this option, you have an issue, bro. Go away, says Jeff. We are living in a gender apartheid in the West, as proven by statistics of sexual activity disparity between genders. Perhaps the Taliban should intervene in the U.S. on humanitarian grounds. I, for one, will welcome the Taliban intervention. You are absolutely correct. The rights of men are not respected in courts. It has been proven that for the same crime, a female will be found innocent or will be given less time. So yes, we are in a gender apartheid by their definition in the West. We need some help from the Taliban. Unfortunately, I think the Taliban are very good at survival in the mountains, but they're very bad at invading a first world nation like America. Political surrenders to woke tantrum by millennial staffers now as a banned words list. Progressive millennials within Politico threw a giant temper tantrum and got their way as Ember Atte, author of The Snowflakes Revolt, writes in The Spectator, what began as a meltdown over conservative commentator Ben Shapiro, who guest authored the outlet's flagship newsletter in December of 2020, has turned into a complete Lord of the Flies organization, with petulant children taking IDs from college campuses into the newsroom and pushing the editorial line further to the left than ever before. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I never entertained hope that Politico would be some kind of objective machine for neutral media commentary. I've always seen it as totally overtaken by leftist interest. So I'm not surprised that the leftists kept demanding more and more. they've now been offended by the phrase biological woman. So now biological woman cannot be said anymore. There's no limit. When you start kneeling to them, they make it a contest to, well, let's push this logic to the extreme. So if biological woman is offensive, then what? And they're going to find the next thing and they're going to make a crisis about it. Ultimately, it's about power and about putting a boundary to these people and saying, no, you won't control this. You want to control this by your own media company. Rand Paul accuses Fauci of elaborate cover-up of COVID lab leak. Well, it's been a while that Rand Paul has been leading the fight against Dr. Fauci. But yeah, with everything that has been revealed, the pushing by Fauci of this article, which was a total scientific fraud, just a bunch of scientists being pushed into saying something about natural origins. The article was not making an argument at all. I remember reviewing it here on the show. It's not like they were saying the virus is of natural origins because they were just saying the virus is of natural origins. And they were not addressing the concerns about the lab leak. Now, these guys, eventually all of the scientists who wrote this, ended up being rewarded in some form by Fauci through grants, millions of dollars to their laboratories. And on top of it, some of them came later and said, hey, I wasn't sure that it was a natural origin. But if you weren't sure, why did you write the flagship scientific article that all the leftist media was quoting and saying, if these guys are saying it's not a lab leak, it's not a lab leak. It's like you've been, I would want to say you've been exploited, but it doesn't look like you've been exploited. It looks like you're playing fool. You're trying to get the best of both worlds. When it mattered, you said what the establishment wanted to hear. And now that you're starting to feel the heat, you say the contrary. That's why it's so sad. It's the remedy always comes too late. The remedy is those scientists saying, oh, no, we were probably wrong, or I didn't even believe this as I wrote this. But that's way too late. You've caused so much damage along the years, and the leftist media totally used your article, and they won't comment on your walk back. They will only comment on your original take. Amazon announces store closures in high-crime cities. Amazon has announced it will be closing several grocery stores in high-crime cities like NYC, Seattle, and San Francisco, but claims the measure is related to cost-cutting. The retail giant said it would be permanently shutting down 8 of its 29 Amazon Go stores. So those are the stores where you go into the store and you take the products and you don't even have to scan them at the exit, if I understand correctly. At least some of those stores, there's kind of cameras tracking you, and they see you put the stuff in your cart, and that's it. That's all you have to do at the exit. You just pay the total. And in fact, Amazon charges your credit card because they already know they already know your credit card because your credit card has been added to the Amazon account. I mean, I don't even know if I would feel comfortable shopping in there. But the problem is there was a lot of theft in many cities, New York, San Francisco, Seattle. And there were Black Lives Matter protests where they went into these stores and totally emptied them, in massive groups, just taking from the rich to feed the poor, basically. Now, they say it's not related to theft. They say it's profitability, but ultimately profitability must be impacted by theft, I guess. So I'm happy. Amazon, I love Amazon, but I don't like Amazon trying to do the normie stuff. I like Amazon doing things differently. What will protect you against the crumbling of society is to be the centralized giant in these centralized warehouses, sending robots into the wild to deliver your Amazon's packages. That I love about Amazon. And I love the fact that they publish my book. I mean, I've been making a living from Amazon selling of my book. So I'm very, very biased toward Amazon. But I don't want Amazon to have success hosting these bizarre normie stores where people go to pause as physical beings and then come out with products. Walmart is much better at this. Walmart masters this. Point of view, you're about to die in a gigantic fireball. Holy shit.
Did somebody say slave? Did somebody say slave?
I mean, I was already nervous. Any plane, even a plane driven by competent people, I was already nervous because, you know, there's this moment where the plane starts doing and I don't know how I would feel if I had TikTok dancing woman like this operating my entire flight. Wartime scenario unfolds as Taiwan suspects Chinese ships cut undersea internet cables. That seems to be relatively important. According to Taiwanese authorities, on February 2nd, a Chinese fishing boat damaged an undersea communications cable that connects Taiwan's main island to Matsu Islands. About 1 week later, a Chinese cargo ship severed another cable. Located approximately 30 miles off the coast of China, the tiny island of Dongyin has quickly established a backup communication system. The new system uses a high-powered microwave radio to transmit data to Taipei. Wall Street Journal described the disruption as a wartime scenario and in a potential preview of a Chinese attack. It seems that China's explanation seems reasonable here. Because if China truly wanted to hurt Taiwan, they wouldn't just cut cables that link this very, very small island. Like, I would see more action. And it seems that if you've messed up with a cable that is going to such a minor island, it seems that the hypothesis that it may be an accidental anchor or maybe accidental fishing tools, just grabbing the cable and destroying it, seems more realistic to me. But if there were to be more events of the kind, then we could think that it's maybe some sort of military escalation. Taiwan has a network of 14 undersea fiber optics cable, some buried as shallow as 6 feet below the seabed. These cables are critical as they provide 95% of the island's data and voice traffic. Very important, those undersea fiber optics cable. I love them. I love fiber optics. Here we have, I don't know if they go undersea. I guess that when we send information to Europe, they go through a undersea cable. But here we have fiber optics entering in the home, and holy shit, is that spectacular. Fiddlesoraptor has sent a super chat. He says, "Hi, Jeff. I can't catch your live shows as much as I'm dealing with a newborn. It's my first, and now I understand why some people keep having babies. They're such a joy if you have a decent, caring woman that's not needy." It is absolutely beautiful. Absolutely, you know, the feeling of security, the feeling of, wow, I've accomplished the most important thing in life, and it's right there in front of me, and it's, you know, the baby is doing good, the baby isn't having much trouble. You realize that, oh, it's a self-sufficient machine in many ways. He needs a couple of needs met, and he's just going to discover the world himself. That is so beautiful, and it's heartwarming. I'm sure that it actually improves your health to have this kind of psychological relief of knowing that your loved ones are around you, that they are well cared for, that they are doing good. I'm sure it diminishes all sorts of stress and bad hormones in your body. It is quite a feeling, and it's okay that you don't catch the show live. Enjoy every minute with your baby. And you know, it doesn't stop. It keeps being enjoyable years and years as they grow, as they start walking on four on their, you know, on their knees, and then eventually on their feet, and they start talking, and they like to play, they like to spend time with you. It's really amazing. The baby moment isn't even the funniest part, because the baby doesn't have much self drive to do stuff. You know, the baby has a drive to suck the boobs and sleep and pee. That's pretty much what the baby does. But as you start communication and you start doing faces and interacting with them, and eventually they master some degree of language and they can start asking for specific things, and I want to sleep, I want to eat, I want to do this, I want to play with you, I want to watch something, it becomes super interesting to see them develop all those needs, those tastes, and it's just better and better as you progress up to adulthood. Silver Spider says, definitely I was depressed after my father died, but after my son was born, I didn't feel bad anymore. Can you imagine the number of mental health cases in our world that are just caused by people haven't been told to fucking reproduce? Like, how many female depressions are ultimately due to us, to them not having made any baby, or to them having made not enough babies? And how many cases of anxiety and perhaps even other mental health disorders ultimately would be completely resolved if people were just making babies? Unbelievable. That's why it's so heartbreaking, this attack on the family. So much pathological behavior out there. All of this on the assumption that the human machine can be satisfied with Amazon Go stores and the satisfaction of basic, unimportant needs rather than the most important need, the one on which every other need is built, reproduction. Charles Garrity says, children are the best antidepressant. Yeah, and you know, I hope that we get a generation of base doctors at some point who understand this, and who, instead of wanting to diagnose their people with their patients with all sorts of crap that will just make them more dependent on the system, eventually we could have doctors who say, like my doctor is awesome, who say, you know what, the best way to keep people healthy is keep the men working and keep the female pregnant. Boom. I mean, that solves so much. If you can have a man who has some work and a female who has some pregnancy project, either she's pregnant or she's going to be pregnant or she's just recovering from a pregnancy, if you can have these things, you are set for life. You're not going to need massive amounts of medication and psychological couch discussions. Philosoraptor says, you know, JF, I never thought about it, but it's 100% true. All my stupid addictions that were just empty distractions have faded since I have her. Just watching her making random sounds make me very happy. Absolutely. You know, when is it, when you don't have a child, when is it that you can lay in the bed and look at something in a state of absolute bliss and satisfaction with life. Never. Maybe you're going to have a pizza, you're going to enjoy the pizza, but you're not going to be like, holy shit, pizza is so amazing. Oh, I'm so happy. No, and maybe you're going to have some computer games that keeps you busy, but you're never going to be like, oh, wow, it is so amazing that I have this computer game. My life is complete. It's going to be sarcastic if you say these things. But when you have a baby, you can spend hours beside the baby, just checking the baby. And it's awesome. It's very different from any sort of satisfaction. I knew it before I ever had kids. Because that's how I was looking at animal behavior when I was a teenager, when I was looking at fish reproduction in my aquariums. I was like, they reach happiness when they have a lot of baby fish. And I knew this. I knew it would be like that. Thomas Howard says, there is a huge difference between chasing happiness and chasing fulfillment. Happiness is fleeting. Dino Legovic says, I made a seafood lasagna that was blissful in 2003. Well, it's time that you make babies now. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, I regularly talk with a 93-year-old woman. She has 3 children and many grandchildren. She grew up on farms and traveled the world. She has told me on a few occasions that our biggest regret in life is not having more children. Exactly. Women should listen to these old women. So she is a grandmother. She had 3 children. She has many grandchildren, and yet she would have wanted more. That is the measure of what truly matters. Because when you become when you're 93 years old, you have seen enough of life that you know what you've had too much of, and you know what you've had not enough of. And it's absolutely understandable and true that what you will regret is not having more babies. Let's not stop at 2 or 3. Let's make 10 babies per couple. That is what we should aim for. And if we only end up having 7 or 8, then that's okay. China warns there will be surely conflict and confrontation with the U.S. if nothing changes. After tiptoeing toward a rapprochement, any fence mending now has been postponed, is the byline of the latest report from the Wall Street Journal that warns US and China are plunging further into a spiral of hostility. They talk about Cold War mentality, Chinese spy balloons, etc. Let's not fall for warmongering here. Maybe there will be tensions between US and China. But maybe not. And I don't see massive signs here that we're headed toward, in the short term, toward a war. I just don't feel it. But I may be wrong. Philosoraptor says, the old lady understood that traveling the world was a waste of time. Oh yeah, man. It's I can't believe these boomers who have pushed so hard the younger generation to them to be like, you must travel the world. You must do your experiences. No. The world is a big pile of crap and compost. It stinks. Most places in the world are filled with dirty human beings who shit in the river. You can't even drink from the river anymore. If you are at a place where you can have children, be happy, and not be attacked by a mob and killed at random places on the streets, stay there. You found the right place. If you're at a place where you can drink water from nature, holy shit, stay there. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, people who are saying Twitter works perfectly at the moment are just exhibiting cope. My Twitter experience on iOS is full of bugs. I have huge gaps where I cannot see tweets because the Show More Tweets button after you've scrolled a bit simply doesn't work. I regularly have 7-hour gaps on my feed, which no amount of closing app and reopening resolve. Does anyone experience this? I'm on OIS iPhone 14 Pro. I don't know about iOS because I wouldn't use this. It's crap. But let me tell you, I've had some issues that I experienced on the Android phone, and I found out that the Android phone wasn't updating Twitter quick enough. Because with Elon in the company, they do a lot of changes constantly. And so I went to the Play Store, downloaded the update, and everything was fixed. So check your updates. Because Twitter changes fast right now, it may take some time before you know, Twitter can update its servers and you still don't have the update on the iOS store or whatever it is. So maybe that's what happens here. Now, there is something bizarre about this way in which when you solicit on, and I do have a problem like the one you describe. There is this bizarre thing where Twitter serves you what it says it should serve you and what you're requesting, which is the latest tweet. And then it's like 35 seconds ago, 1 minute ago, 2 minutes ago, 14 hours ago, 15 hours ago, and then 3 minutes ago, 4 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And I don't know what is happening there. It seems that the algorithm is torn apart in serving different things. Is it that there is that they're trying to favor some tweets, and the tweets that they're trying to promote or favor are becoming old and it's forced to kick them up in the list? I don't know, but it seems to me that when you click on following and when you click on latest tweets, you should get just the latest tweets. And if you don't have anything to promote, well, make your promotion system faster, you know? I've been paying for promotions on Twitter because I wanted to send the money to Elon. I wanted to reward him. And it takes hours before they validate your promotion. Are you fucking kidding me? Do you know the cycle of news right now? It's like, if you're not within the hour, you're done. If you're not within the minutes on a tweet reply, you're done. So what the fuck is it that I try to buy a $500 ad to promote my Brett Weinstein plagiarism video, you know, and that was because I had decided I want to give $500 to Elon Musk. And it takes hours before it even starts to be promoted. What the fuck are you doing, Twitter? I would like to see a machine at the seconds level. 0 day warras. That is what I want to see. 0 day warras. Philosoraptor says, can a country like Japan face extinction if they don't start making babies? At what point is extinction inevitable? It is ridiculous to think that a drop in the birth rate leads to extinction. It is absolutely ludicrous. A drop in the birth rate indicates that some ceiling of the environment possibilities have been met, such that there are people who are unable or unwilling, based on their genetic evolution, to perceive the current world as fertile for baby making, and so they end up not making babies, either through misfiring or through an actual evolutionary algorithm. But then what happens? The population will not constantly shorten. The population gets refilled with genes who are fit in the current world, and so you start having evolution pushing back toward growth again, and it's a matter of a couple of generations. So you won't have a crash of population numbers down to zero. You're going to have it goes down. And this is graphs that exist, predator-prey interactions. What was the equation that someone mentioned recently? The Lotka-Volterra equations. See, this is the population of snowshoe hare, so rabbits and lynx, and you can see there's an oscillation. And those, of course, are the they were sold at the market. So that's a measure of human hunting. But consider it a proxy for what was happening in the population. And look at the generalized model, predator-prey. Predator in red. So the predator population increases after the prey population has increased. So there's more prey available. The predators come in, they suck it off. But there's no point at which it reaches zero. It's an oscillation. And of course, it has to be an oscillation because there are limits in over-consuming the prey, and there are limits in the lifestyle of a predator also. There are limits to every lifestyle. There is a finite, it's a finite world with finite energy, finite predators, finite food for the prey. And the same thing must be true of Japan and of any human population. Just forget about the word prey and predator for a moment. Those are equilibriums of games. And yes, Aquanaut says also the hawk-dove-Nash equilibrium is commonly used for this. Highly recommend checking this out as an evolutionary algorithm. Absolutely. You need to understand evolutionary stable algorithms. Evolutionary stable ESS. Evolutionary stable state? Evolutionary stable something. Anyway. Evolutionary stable system? Evolutionary stable S. Well, strategy. That is what it is. Evolutionary stable strategies and game theoretic equilibriums. It's two faces of a similar concept. One is from mathematics, one is from evolution. And yeah, nothing can be extreme. If you have a bunch of alpha and betas, the alpha have their own constraints. In a monkey population, being alpha means being exposed to a lot of violence, having to invest a lot of energy imposing your alpha status. The beta, his life is quite interesting, you know. Exploit the environment. Don't get priority on stuff, but always get a side occasion to fuck a female here and there. And ultimately, the alpha lifestyle is good if you're the only alpha, but the more alpha there are, the more it's bad. Now, the beta lifestyle is good if you're the only beta among alphas that are fighting one another. But when there's too many betas, now everyone is an exploiter and you're competing now with too many betas. So it's not just predator-prey interaction. It's any equilibrium between two strategies with trade-offs will resolve in oscillations. And what is, the thing is with Japan. So, okay, you record a low birth rate. We don't know exactly where the trade-off is, what would be the equivalent of the other niche, what would be the prey, what would be the predator in this example. But there has to be something. There has to be a bunch of Japanese people who are still making just as many babies as their ancestors. These people will rise in a population where there's less competition, but these guys keep fucking. They're going to rise and they're going to push the birth rate back up. Don't be worried about extinction is something that happens when there's less individual than would be needed to restart the whole species, to redominate the niche that they use to dominate. Extinction, we start talking about it when there's 20 pandas left. Not when there's millions of Japanese people and they just got down on the birth rate for last year. Silver Spider has sent a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, have you ever dealt with what is called sleep regression in babies? My 7-month-old son had started sleeping through the night, but after only a few weeks now hates napping and is up a few times a night. I can't say I have dealt directly with this, but I'm not particularly surprised. I mean, I'm such a loose guy on these things. I don't know if I would even know. Because in my libertarian life, babies and children sleep when they want and when they need. And so I don't know if I would notice if something like that was to happen. My approach to this, like many other things, would be tolerance. Is it possible that, like, are you annoyed by this? Are you, do you have something in your life that makes this a big disruption? Do you have a schedule? Do you have a work that you need to attend? Maybe it's any of these things that make you harder, that make it harder on you than it would on me. But in general, just tolerate and let the kid follow his own schedule and don't be disruptive to the kid stabilizing his schedule. So sometimes, you know, it is adults and their arbitrary demands on children that will destabilize the child. You need to let stability rise, but let it rise naturally. If you try to push or to master it or to set times for sleeping, that becomes very demanding for the hormonal system and body of the child. Mike Ronova says the fake panic of birth rates slowing down is from pyramid scheme social welfare, like America's Social Security. It relies on increased birth rate and a certain amount of people dying off and not collecting after paying into the system. Absolutely. A lot is based on this pyramid scheme. The whole conception that the GDP is growing and that's a thing, you know, is all reliant on, okay, your GDP is growing. You've just attracted massive amounts of people to come replace you in your own country, but the GDP is growing because, yeah, I guess they have a job. I guess they're making money, you know. So dangerous to trust these technocrats who come at you with, we want to raise the GDP, we want to maintain the social security. All of this is absolute crap. Go Away says, governments will maintain population growth despite lowering birth rates through immigration because our economy is dependent on economic growth. So the environment that promotes low birth rate persists without moving toward an equilibrium. This will continue until there are no distinctly Japanese left. Well, you know, it's a bet that you're making there. I'm not sure, though. Japanese seems like a pretty demographically caring and homogeneous population. I don't know if they will be tempted by the same crap that has attracted Western civilization, but let me tell you, when you have a relatively small surface area like Japan, it is much harder to sell to your population the idea that somehow we need to fill it with strangers. It's much easier with America, where you had a liberty-oriented population that had very low degrees of racial identity embedded in their culture, and a super large surface area like Canada and the US. That is easy to fool your population into thinking, hey, there's place, you know? In Japan, in a small country like this, I don't know that Japanese people will be as open as the West to do that kind of stuff. I'm cracking my back. Oh my God, it's been demanding. These 3 days working on the dishwasher. Today, I did nothing. Today, I went to the grocery store, just did some shopping. I didn't do any building work because holy shit, was that demanding installation of this new dishwasher. Well, that is it for tonight, boys. Mike Ronova says the rich people that want unchecked immigrants is to keep the wages down, to have wage slaves. The Koch brothers in USA, as an example, those Koch brothers switched to Democrats when Trump was disrupting the wage slave labor from Mexico. Yeah, that might be a problem. Yeah. This need for a bottom of society, you know? And it's ultimately what has left the boomer to sell out. The boomers had their houses, and they had an economic interest built into society so that there would always be more people wanting to purchase their house. And they were basically economically incentivized also to make the world more difficult to develop. Because when you already have your house, if you can make it hard for others to get building permits, if you can make all those sorts of arbitrary demands on conditions on building, if you can make the market for real estate inaccessible, and if you can have flows of migrants coming with money or at least having jobs, eventually able to populate all the apartments, you make the whole real estate market rise in a way that advantages you. And I'm thinking that the real estate ownership class in America has been a big problem. They've been the liberals accumulating outside of cities, looking for these cities to kind of attract a lot of people so that their house would gain value. I'm thinking that there's a massive issue with home ownership. I'm not saying don't own homes. You do. It's the best thing you can ever buy, a home. But there's a massive problem with this specific class of people as it distinguishes itself from the workers who can't afford it. Covey Killer Clown says, building pyramids out of houses. You're going to build a pyramid out of your house? Oh, you mean a pyramid scheme? Oh, yeah. If that's what you mean, yes. Absolutely. I think there's a kind of pyramid scheme of the real estate market. That is it for tonight. Much love, boys. I'll see you all tomorrow.